Monday morning with Matt and Kevin. What's in the news? Topics that come up around the dinner table will be given the truth treatment with no punches held and no falsehood left standing. These two will debate real life issues from a Catholic perspective every Monday at 9 a.m. Eastern.
And now, here are your hosts, Matt and Kevin.
Oh, happy Monday morning to you all. This is, this is Kevin. I'm here with Matt. I didn't want to do too of a excited of an intro because it is the Monday of Holy Week.
Right.
So it's a, you know, we're going to have a bit more of a, you know, we're going to have a calm, relaxed. We're going to, you know, have a drink a gross tasting tea type of a thing, you know, for this Monday and Holy Week. And we're actually recording on
Sunday. We're going to sound like NPR radio.
Yeah, exactly.
And like good morning, Kevin.
Yeah, exactly. Good morning, Matt. No, but I'm actually kind of a little surprised we're doing a show this week. We probably won't next week. I can't imagine us recording on Easter Sunday. So we'll take a week off next week. But today we got some pretty interesting topics. And I think that it kind of ended up that we're going to have a show as well. You're listening to us right now. We're going to talk about Candace Owens being booted from the Daily Wire. Pretty interesting. Kind of the entire issue with, you know, anti-Semitism, apparently. And also her saying that the wife of the president of France is a man. That's also kind of partly probably why she was fired. Pretty interesting. We're also going to talk about the Vatican, more hugging of the earth and World Earth Day or something of the sort, which Matt has prepared pretty, you know, normal stuff coming out of the Vatican. And we might also touch on what happened in Moscow a couple days ago, but maybe not. We'll see. It's a little dark, but we might get there. Matt, as always, you've done most of the preparation for this. I guess I'd just say real quickly, I used to be a big viewer of the Daily Wire. I watched pretty much all of them. I liked Ben Shapiro has always bothered me, but I liked his debates because he's very sharp and he can really own people as well as anyone out there. And the other guys, I like Michael Knowles. I like Matt Walsh. I kind of like Candace Owens. She honestly kind of rubs me the wrong way sometimes, but I don't know. They're just reached a point where I honestly almost couldn't handle them anymore. They got too commercial, too braggadocious, too, maybe too big, honestly. And so I don't really watch them, but I do have some things to say about Candace Owens, but I'll let you start. What on earth happened?
Well, I think, yeah, actually let me comment on some of the things you said there. I think that the Daily Wire was an outlet for American conservatives who were really tired with the rhino type Republicans in the party. We were fed guys like Mitt Romney and John McCain and Rudy Giuliani and all these guys. And a lot of the Americans that were really so-called far right wanted a bigger voice. They wanted to be able to be represented on a national scale. And to me, at the time, the Daily Wire did that, Kev. They had all these really good talking points. As you said, they were sharp, they were quick, and they articulated their arguments against subjects like abortion and gay marriage that it almost seems like the establishment and the political realm didn't want to touch. Right. They kind of wanted to avoid bringing those topics up. And if they did, they were pretty moderate on them. Whereas the Daily Wire went all the way. They were not afraid to call these things out for what they are. And I think that was a very attractive platform for a lot of us. A lot of the subjects, too, that they touched on, again, were considered or were aligned with the alt-right or the far right. And it resonated, I think, with a lot of people. And they found a home in the Daily Wire. They found a home in a lot of these people, especially with Candace Owens becoming such a figure that she was, where she was a voice really of Black America in a way that we haven't heard in a long time. She wrote a book, the name is escaping me, but really she talked about how African Americans do nothing but vote Democrat because they're bought to stay on the plantation. She used very, very harsh language to describe what was going on. And her whole approach was, if we can get just a small number of Black Americans to abandon the Democrat Party, then they will never win again. They rely on our votes. And she had a whole reason and a whole history for why that may be so, and that would be another topic for another day. But she really sold that point very well. And I think that, Blackout was the name of the book, I believe. And she really helped a lot of African Americans leave this Democrat Party because she really articulated well the reasons why they do not belong there. They should not belong there. You have to give guys like Trump and others a chance. What has the Democratic Party done for you in the last 60, 70, 80 years? And she made great arguments, and I think she won a lot of people over, and it really won the hearts and minds of a lot of Americans. So I think they were really strong on these moral issues. They were really strong on a lot of I guess you can call it maybe bashing liberalism or arguing against the left. They did very well. But we forget that there is a very large portion of the Daily Wire that is very dark, that is very anti-Catholic, that is very much against what the church would promulgate or teach.
Jewish.
And, yeah. And for that reason, Candace Owens is out because she clashed with, I don't know, is his position. Is he the founder, the co-founder. Ben Shapiro's co-founder of the Daily Wire? And I have a few things that I want to share. So I have I found a tweet from this woman who worked for the Daily Wire up until 2020, where she was fired. And she kind of explains her reasoning. And I want to get into that there. But really, the height of it, Kev, the reason why Candace Owens was booted from the network was really because she really had a lot to say about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. And she spoke very poorly and negatively of Israel for two reasons. One,
so you're saying she's an anti-Semite, Matt? I mean, she's
obviously you cannot cannot criticize.
She hates
the Jews.
She wants them all to die a miserable death.
You cannot criticize.
You can't. Of course, you can't. If criticizing is like murdering, come on, Matt.
You can't do that.
Israel, how dare she?
Well, here I think. So I think the tipping point was her second argument. But her first point was that the Jewish government was committing genocide in Gaza. They were attacking innocent civilians, which, of course, to these people like Ben Shapiro, you're wrong, you're lying. They want to hear none of it, which is true. And I think that America is just as guilty. America has carpet bombed countries like Iraq and Syria where innocent civilians have lost their lives. I mean, we could take the blame as well. But saying that against Israel really crossed a line for Ben Shapiro. But Candace Owens' second argument here was she said that there is a small ring of Jewish people in Hollywood and DC who are involved in something, quote, quite sinister. And she didn't really expand on that much more, but he was just taken over the top with that, and he had to boot her. And the people are starting to come out saying the Daily Wire is not friendly to Christians in general. And yeah, just pointing out the flaws with what Israel has done, not only militarily in the region, but this group of people that she sort of suggests controls a lot of the narrative in our country, that was enough for him. And Ben Shapiro has a very long history of being very anti-Catholic, being very anti-God, being very anti-Christ.
Well, and he's
touch on that in a minute.
He's very pro-war. And he's a total war hog. And he's a guy who... You know, let's just go. We're gonna go bomb everybody, bomb them all. Let's just go kill everybody because they don't agree with us.
Very good impression.
I just want to go bomb them all. And it's just, I mean, but that's really how he is. I mean, he's, you know, he's one of these guys that, again, he's very sharp. In some things, he, you know, he's pro life. He agrees on things and he can really defend them really well. And so
transgenderism, just,
absolutely. Yes. And he gets these viral moments, and he's had probably 20 of them in his career that are massively viral that have changed the course of politics and history. I think that's true. But as you say, you actually start looking into a lot of his politics and he's actually in a lot of ways a rhino. He's very much big government. He's very much pro-war. Yes. He's obviously extremely pro-Israel. And I'm not saying I'm anti-Israel necessarily. I mean, I think obviously I think that they, you know, the Jews are clearly against our religion and we want them all to be converted. But, you know, I don't want anyone in Israel to die or anything. I don't want anyone in Palestine to die. I'm anti-war. And I'm also, you know, I think I imagine you're probably the same. I am more of a someone who's a small government and just leave it be. It's not our problem. And I guess if Ben Shapiro is a Jew and he wants to have a big part of what's happening in Israel, then move to Israel, I suppose.
Right. And he, you know, a lot of the things that he has said, I pulled up a tweet, Kev. This is one of them from him. He said, let me just pull it back up here. I'm sure that a lot of Christians aren't pleased with my rejection of Christ as Lord. That was a tweet from April 2020. And that's just the first of many. He mocked the movie, The Passion of the Christ. He said the sequel should be called He Won't Be Crossed Again. And then the great thing is, I guess it's not so great, but then he kind of does this thing where he tiptoes around his statements and he says, well, this country is built on Judeo-Christian values. That is the most, that is such an oxymoron, that term. And I don't know why people kind of buy into it as often as they do. What is Judeo? Are you going to say something?
I'm going to disagree with you, Matt. Hey, everyone, listen. I'm going to disagree with you.
We're going to disagree. Actually, well, Kevin's going to be wrong here, but go ahead. Just like he was with Barry Bonds.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. No, but actually, I think I'm actually disagreeing, but I think you'll actually agree with my disagreement. I actually think that our country, that America, was founded on Judeo-Christian values. I think that's true. It just ends up being that the Judeo values are the bad ones. The Christian values are the good ones. So I don't like when people use that phrase, like, our country is the greatest in the world because it was founded on Judeo-Christian values. Like, well, no. Now, I mean, I would even say, if you want to say Christian values, the way they use that, you're talking about Protestant values, which obviously, as we all know, they're pro-life. Or, sorry, they're pro-choice. They're pro, you know, having multiple wives and husbands, you know, divorce, etc. So they don't actually really have that much morality. And I'm sorry, it's often the case in terms of these bigger issues. And so, yeah, if you're saying, you know, Judeo-Christian in that case, then yeah, I think it's true. And I think you see America is not a Catholic country. It is not a moral country, and it never really has been. And so I think if you're using it in terms of just what the words actually mean today, you know, not what they, I should say how they're interpreted today, Christian being Protestant, Judeo being Jewish, I actually think it's true. I think America is a Judeo-Christian country. It's not a Catholic country. And I think that's actually the difference.
Well, he uses the term in a good way, as if the two faiths ought to intertwine one another and coexist with one another, and both can contribute to the good. They are vehemently opposed to one another, and I think that's what he is kind of, you know, really really rejecting. And he has even said, I wanted to find one more thing here, and I couldn't pull it up when I was looking, but so what's been going on around Twitter recently was one of the Daily Wire heads over there. He said that the phrase "Christ is Lord" is anti-Semitic, and so yesterday on Twitter, whatever day it was, Saturday on Twitter, people were kind of flooding the timeline with "Christ is Lord, Christ is Lord, Christ is Lord." It is a video clip of one of the guys there. I don't know what his name was, but of him saying that phrase is anti-Semitic. So they're really throwing this stuff out at us, Kev. And I want to read this quote, and it's on, so this woman's name is Queen Bethany, and she worked at the Daily Wire up until 2020, and she made a little post, and I'd like to read it here because I think we're going to see more of this stuff coming out, and I think we're going to see more and more people kind of realizing what is going on behind the scenes with a lot of these big multi-million dollar companies. From what I could find, it looked like Candace Owens was making about a $250,000 salary with the Daily Wire. So it kind of turns out I could be wrong. It's not like it's very clear, but from what I was able to piece together from doing some research, she brought in about $250,000 a year at the Daily Wire. But so Queen Bethany on Twitter writes, Candace Owens made me feel the need to finally speak out. I was fired from the Daily Wire in 2020 because I was a Christian. And of course, I'll kind of make a little asterisk there and say I don't know what denominations they're referring to or whatever, just that's her language. Yes, it's true. They really hate Christians. It was because I'm Christian that in April 2020, after my three-month internship ended, we were a month into LA lockdowns, and that Jeremy personally called me and said they couldn't afford to continue to pay me. They slashed everyone else's pay by 15%, 30%, and 50% for the COs, and yes, they even offered to rehire me after they moved to Nashville, but I knew that he was lying. I know in my heart of hearts that Jeremy, the Christian, previously a pastor of a small church, was turning on his fellow Christians. He can't stand to hear the word of God, and that's why he only keeps Matt Walsh and Michael Knowles to spout out their Catholic nonsense, which, okay, whatever. Andrew Clavin doesn't count because he's too woke to be Christian, but me, I am too much Christian for the Daily Wire to handle. I even quote Bible verses sometimes when I'm attacking people in Christian love, because you know what, Jeremy, the love of money is the root of all evil. Candace Owens said the, I'm going off scripture. Candace Owens said the same thing. She tweeted the same thing recently to Ben Shapiro. And we all know that you love money more than you love Christ. And so Jeremy, the one who's in charge of hiring and firing, I now have proof that you've gotten close to your dog, Jasper, who is not a Christian. She goes on a little bit more and just kind of goes on to a little bit HR things here. But it's interesting the comment she makes about Matt Walsh spewing his Catholic nonsense. But anyway, we could see here from the top that they don't tolerate Christians. They don't want these opinions intertwined with them. And any sort of opinion or opposition to their faith or towards Israel is not tolerated at the Daily Wire. And they will boot you for it. They will cancel you for it. And that's kind of ironic, considering these are the people who fought cancel culture for the last however many years. They put their voices out saying how wrong it is for people to be fired or doxxed because they refuse to get the vaccine. And you can't cancel people's free speech. Well, all of a sudden, all of these so-called rights that these conservatives like Ben Shapiro hold near and dear are out the window when you criticize their God.
Well, and I think it's interesting because I think there's a really deep conversation to be had here about free speech, because if you think about it, you know, in the end, okay, if you're going to say speech is free, every company has the right to hire and fire who they want. Everyone has the right to listen to what they want. So, you know, in the end, if they want to only hire Jews, then fine. You know, if they don't want to have Christians, then fine. You know, I guess for me, it's like, then, okay, then why don't the Christians, the Catholics, go and do something and try to do it better? If you actually have a free economy, which, you know, that's a whole different, again, it's a whole different topic. But I mean, you know, I think the issue with these things are that eventually you become woke, right? Because you're going to pigeonhole yourself into a corner. And you're going to end up only talking about Israel, or no one else can talk about anything that's not Israel, and no one's going to care. No one's going to listen to them anymore, because it's going to be like, okay, you know, I used to like you guys because you used to talk about, you know, the issues I cared about, and now it's only about Israel. So bye. You know, I'll go find somebody else. And I think that's what it seems like it's kind of heading. It's like, okay, well, you know, if you're going to fire Candace Owens, who brought a totally different spin to what she was bringing, I don't always love her. She kind of rubs me the wrong way, but what she was bringing was a very interesting voice and a very,
yes, I agree,
different mindset and different, you know, way of looking at things, which I think is very valuable. I think, you know, if you have someone like Ben Shapiro,
well,
and Matt Walsh and Candace Owens, they have different views. You have to allow for them to have different views, you know, and even if it's against yours, even if it's against your religion, if you really want to have free speech and a free company speech, then you have to say, okay, even though I really don't like what you're saying, I'm going to allow it. It's not illegal or whatever. So, and I think that since they're going against that, I think they'll fail.
Well, if you look back at really her taking off of her career was rooted in Trumpism and was rooted in that election of 2016, where the demographic that was supposed to be a near infallible vote for Hillary Clinton was young, right? Young people voted Democrat. Was women, young women voted Democrat, and minority, she's Black. So all three of those were almost a shoo-in for Democrats. And she is all three. She was, she's a millennial, I believe. She was born in the late 80s, 89, I want to say. She's Black, and she's a woman, and she was voting for Trump. And that was very, very, very against the grain at the time. So not only did she espouse these positions, but she articulated them very well, and that launched her career. So yes, I agree. Her voice added a lot to the network, and she brought in some really good perspectives that I think a lot of people needed to hear. And we saw this, a lot of Black Americans were really came out and saying that she helped me realize that, what was I doing? I've been me and my family have been voting this way for decades, and we've seen change. It's gotten worse. And she really enlightened a lot of Black Americans to, what did Obama do for me? He was elected in a lot of ways because people wanted to see the first African-American president. And a lot of Black Americans felt abandoned by him, wronged by him. And she gave them a voice. She gave them a platform. She allowed them to see what you've been doing for the last near century isn't working. You have to give it a different try. And again, I don't agree with all that she says, and she's got a lot. I don't know if she's converting to the Novus Ordo religion. I know it's been a thing. Yeah. I'm not sure if that's been sure out either. There, but yeah. She's interesting. And she actually, I believe she stood before Congress one or two times to kind of push back on a lot of their talking points, where she was like, I've never owned slaves. I've never been a slave. My family has never been slaves. And we need to stop this whole retribution kind of talk too. So she really goes against a lot of the talk that the mainstream media wants you to believe. And she's done that for a long time. And that's been her talking point. So now her critique of these, not only what Israel has done in the Middle East, but just her suggestion that there's this group of Jewish people in Hollywood and in DC that are doing some really sick stuff, just cross the line for him. There are people, Kev, just one point really quick, there are people say that she is controlled opposition, that she is bought, she is paid for, she's making money. I think they're going to say that about anybody.
Don't get me started with that group of people.
Do I think she's controlled opposition? I would say probably not.
Matt, I bet you these people think that we are controlled opposition. I know these people on Twitter. I know them well. I'm probably friends with some of them, or once was, but yeah, everybody's.
And I'm oblivious to it if we are. I have no idea.
Everyone knows the plan.
You send me my check every 2 weeks, and that's it. That's it. There's nothing more.
You well, and you show up for your job on Monday. I'm going to pay
with
you
excellent your health first, insurance. And it's payment, incredible. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And your first bonus is going to be a
mug
in the podcast mug.
Yeah, a mug.
I'm going to get that to you here after Easter sometime.
I throw this idea out there? Would people like little gift baskets of it filled with maybe little Catholic goodies, prayer cards? There's this site. I get them off Etsy. There's this one woman who, for $2 a month, she sends you like 5 holy cards a month. So you enroll. So what I did was you put your name on the list. You give your credit card. So $2 a month, it's taken out of your credit card. And she mails you 5 holy cards, and they're beautiful. So something like that. We can do it.
Absolutely.
We can do it. Did you want to talk, Kev, about the really quick about the
Earth Day?
The lights. Yeah. So what happened was, let me jump back to that here too, because I want to read it properly. So so yesterday or Saturday, from 8:30 to 9:30 p.m. in Rome, there was Earth Hour across all of Europe, which I guess was some movement to remind people that you using electricity and turning on your lights and all that is really bad, and you know, you just hate the climate, and you hate the world, and you hate you're just an angry individual if you're using electricity. You're too modern in this modern world. Turn off those lights, you pagan or whatever. Well, what they did was Vatican spokesman couldn't wait to partake in this Earth Hour, and not only did they partake in it, they released a statement saying that the lights of St. Peter's Basilica will be off as part of Earth Hour. And then the St. Peter's Basilica released a statement saying that we will be doing this to, quote, and this is, I'm reading this, to inspire women and men, notice the order there, and to inspire women and men of our time to respect Mother Earth, end quote. That came from the Vatican.
Literally just saying Mother Earth is pagan. Mother Earth. That's a pagan
Earth,
phrase.
The cry of the earth, as Bergoglio has often said. Yeah. Mother Earth is crying. If you go to his Twitter page and you search the word earth and crying, you will yield many results. It's one of his favorite. I've done it.
Matt, so you need
in my free time.
You need
yes, yeah.
Any single ladies out there, let me know. We'll get you in touch with that. But no.
Right, we will be searching these things on.
Well, I mean, how crazy is it? Because I think, you know, it's one of those things that I am a fan of getting back to the earth, and I'm a fan of saving the earth. I think you are too. I mean, these are good.
Sure,
things,
of course.
But here's the issue. It's like, you know, so if these people in Rome really believe in this, and maybe there are some that do, then, and I mean this really sincerely, go out into the, you know, into the Tuscan hills and found a monastery without electricity and stuff. You know, it was done for 1500 years,
right?
And it gave us great saints. Go do it. I really mean it, and I think there is really good to be done there, and I think that there is there are great things when you do turn off electricity and walk into the nature, and nature is given to us by God. It is a beautiful thing. But I think the hypocrisy is just incredible. You just know for sure. I mean, first of all, Matt, they're tweeting this. They're guys, everyone sit back for a second and think. They're tweeting, we're going to take an hour off of technology, you know, thump my chest. You know, how awesome are we? You know, our electricity is going to be turned off. It's just virtue signaling. You know, if you really care, stop driving a car, stop flying in airplanes. That's fine. I support people who do that. I mean, really, I love cities that don't have, you know, these huge carbon emissions and stuff, and that don't have roads in the middle of the old towns here in Europe. You know why? Because it's a lot nicer to actually see and to actually travel around. So, you know, maybe that makes me a tree hugger, but there's some good things from this stuff. But the issue is how hypocritical they are. It's unbelievable. It blows me away. It's like Taylor Swift, you know, the amount of emissions she's used on her private flights.
Oh yeah, then they lecture us. Yeah, Bergoglio.
Oh, it's
too.
Incredible. Yeah, exactly. All of them. So it's like just be quiet. Just
the presidents.
You know, come on, don't talk to me about.
But again, though, these sort of, especially during Holy Week, which we're in now, but these sort of issues really ought to be on the back burner of what the church's mission is. I mean, not that they're bad, like you said, not that they shouldn't be talked about or addressed or discussed. Sure, there are a lot of good things you can kind of get out of it, but the church's mission is to save souls, and that, what does that have to do with turning my lights off for Mother Earth? I mean, and if they put out a lot of Catholic content and statements and whatnot on the regular, then okay, mention that, you know, this is something that we as Catholics should be aware of, no different than keeping a clean earth or pollution, all those things. Like, of course, that should be part of God gave us his earth and we should take care of it, of course. But they don't concern themselves with any sort of thing that relates to our salvation at all.
Have you seen the video from Jordan Peterson about that topic? It's incredible. Like I don't
believe.
Oh, no. It's so good. You gotta look it up, Matt. Maybe look it up and even attach it to this video, because it's so good. And it's he's saying this exactly what you're saying. He's like, you know, the Vatican. He's talking about Rome. He's like, you know, they seem so busy dealing with, you know, things of the earth, when the you know, isn't their job to save souls? And he's like, you know, they're trying to take away from people the primary purpose of life, and that is to carry your cross. It's like, Matt, that's from Jordan Peterson. He's not even Catholic, man.
I was gonna say he's not even Catholic,
and he is pretty much scolding the supposed Pope. It's an awesome interview. I think it's 5 minutes long or something. Highly recommend. And I'm not saying whatever. It's Jordan Peterson, but just the fact that he's saying it about the supposed Pope. Well, guys, open your eyes. It's incredible.
Think about the effects of that too. Is something like that could be preventing someone like him from joining the church.
Yes.
I mean, think about it.
Yes.
And there are probably a lot of very well off, you know, good meaning. I'm jumbling my words here with what's the expression? Well meaning, well off, well meaning, well intended. You know what I'm trying to say. Well intended people with good, clear consciences, who want to follow the truth, and they're not seeing it in this Bergoglian religion.
Yeah.
And what a shame, you know. And I brought this up last time. We call these people, not you and I, not we, but they call these people who introduce this saints, right? And Saint John the 23rd, Saint Paul the 6th, certainly Saint John Paul II, certainly Ratzinger and Francis. I think there's no doubt that their canonizations loom at some point. They're preventing people of goodwill from coming into the true faith. And it's awful. And they have to answer for that. Think about it. They have to answer for that. They are, their judgment, how harsh that must be for us. So yeah, again, these issues are very important, and they should be dealt with and talked about, of course. But there's what we've seen from Cardinal Dolan, Kupich, and all of these other men on Twitter lately. I don't know if you've come across them, Kev, is they are speaking they're putting out videos honoring and celebrating Ramadan and Passover and all that again and again and again and again and again continually. They said, I think it was Dolan of New York who said they're all beautiful celebrations combined in one. Now, if such a clergyman were to say something like that in the days of Pius X, he would have faced severe discipline. And there are stories of Pius X disciplining men for much worse than that. I think I said the story on the show before that there was a bishop or maybe even a cardinal, but a bishop who would occasionally spew some heresies in his sermons. Nothing anywhere close to what we're seeing today. And Pius X called him into Rome, and he took the, it must have been a cardinal, he took the hat off his head, and he said, "Have a good day, Father." And as a means of stripping him of all of his, you can undo the priesthood, but of stripping him all of his titles. Bergoglio should be doing that, of course. I'm sure he's coming out swinging with, you know, correction and smashing of heresy. And of course he's not. So Mother Earth is crying.
Mother Earth is crying. Yeah, exactly. And as you say, that's a message right before Holy Week.
Holy Week.
But again, man, it's like, I mean, why is it that I'm seeing on Facebook or Twitter, wherever it was, I mean, I'm seeing Jordan Peterson, a non-Catholic, telling me that the primary goal in our life should be to carry our cross.
There are a lot of people like that. I think Candace Owens would say the same. I think, and she said similar.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
You know, there are a lot of these Protestants who are of goodwill and who do, who would be more susceptible to the truth if they knew it. And I've met people like that. I've actually, I knew a Protestant pastor, in person, who was very well-intended, had good intentions, and was actually turned off by a lot of the things he saw out of Francis and all of that. And I explained to him our position, and he actually said to me, he goes, "That actually makes a lot of sense. I see what you're saying there." And I think, you know, we have to, it's in My Catholic Faith. If anyone has that catechism, it's in there, how to deal with non-Catholics. It says we should be careful of how we converse with them, and you really point to the four marks of the church and use that as a means to kind of begin our argument. And I think there are a lot of people who are Protestants who do want the truth and who would love nothing more than to live their life for God and the church if they knew, or if it were presented to them well. And I think that's something that we should really keep in mind too. The holiest week of the year coming up, Kevin, you know, I think all of the ceremonies that are done, you know, that's one of the things that makes me sad is a lot of our priests now here in the U.S., they travel and they go from chapel to chapel across various states. So there's nothing, you know, we don't have the services that used to be at all. You know, I think there's somebody found a Holy Week schedule out of, it might have been St. Patrick's in New York City in 1940 or whatever. And it was like there were 9 masses a day. Confessions 24 hours. You can go. There was priests available 24 hours in the confessional. Now think about what we've lost, because there are some set of Acontis chapels and all that are pretty more so well standing and independent. But there are a lot of others where the priest travels and he stops by for massing, and then that's it. He has to go to a different state. I know here, a lot of our priests, they travel from Boston to Maine to New Hampshire to New York to New Jersey. The handful of them travel 5 states on a Sunday just to hear mass, hear sacraments, hear mass, hear sacraments. How stretched thin we are. And from what I've heard from some priests, when I was speaking with Father Orich, I believe you'd say his name, he said, "You're much more abundant in the U.S. than you are here in Europe." So consider that a blessing too. But
that's it. Yeah. And I think the beauty of it too, though, is, you know, and obviously, yeah, you go back to 1940s, but I mean, if you think about it now, you know, even the Novus Ordo doesn't have enough either. I know for sure.
Here, no,
they have like no priest, no. And they don't have the sacraments. You know, I think that's the beauty of it, that even if it is one of the days of Holy Week, you know, you still get the Holy Eucharist, you still get the true sacraments. And that is worth it. But you're right. I mean, it is hard to deal with. I'm lucky I live in a parish where our priest stays here for the whole Holy Week.
So yeah, all the ceremonies.
But I do recommend, I mean, anyone listening, I do highly recommend to you too, Matt. I mean, if you ever get the chance, go to somewhere like Pennsylvania with Bishop Sanborn. I'm not sure they have public mass. If they do, go there. I mean, go to Omaha, go to Cincinnati.
Brooksville,
go to
Florida.
There you go. Go to Brooksville. Go to somewhere that has, especially if they have a bishop.
St. Gertrude's.
Oh, they got if you have a bishop, you have these bigger, you have the solemn masses during Holy Week.
Right.
I'm telling you, it is definitely worth it at least once in your life to see. Highly, highly, highly recommend. Plan it for 1 year, you know, go for a Holy Week. It was always one of those things that in Omaha, it's just different. You can't even describe it because it's just, everything's bigger. It's all solemn. You have a bishop for all the ceremony. So you also have the blessing of the oils on Thursday morning, and you have the tenebrae Wednesday evening. And it's a whole week thing. and you're really doing something all the time. And it's beautiful, really beautiful. I highly recommend it. One of those three places, probably. I'm sure there are probably others around the world. I hate, you know, go to Nigeria. I'm sure they have big ceremonies.
Oh,
as well.
Right, with Bishop
Nkomike.
I'm not. Yeah. You can say his name. Yes, yes.
I hope I say that right by now. I've interviewed him a few times, but
yes,
but
no, he's great.
Oh, I love him. No, absolutely. But yeah, I mean, go somewhere where you can have these big ceremonies, or at least go to a big parish, even just with a set priest that has these, because I think you can't do it every year. Of course, that makes sense, but maybe every 5 years, you know, and then you really get that really strong Holy Week, because I think that'll boost you. It can boost you for a whole year, I think.
Of course, much better than Steubenville. I'm sure Spokane probably has some really nice stuff too out there with I don't know. No, where does Bishop Pivarunis?
He's Omaha.
Nebraska. He is in.
He's
in
Omaha. Oh, okay. Yeah. So that's where I always got to experience was with Bishop.
Gotcha.
Very nice.
So then Bishop McGuire is going to be in Ohio.
I think
and
so.
Then, yeah. And then of course, Bishop, I don't know if, so I'm wondering if in Brooksville, Florida, if there was a bishop.
Bishop Selway, I think, is
Selway is there. He is there. Okay.
He's the bishop of the sisters, but I would assume he would have public.
He would too.
But I don't really know.
I don't know about Pennsylvania.
If anybody knows, let us know. That would be good to know if they have public masses in Pennsylvania.
I'm inclined to say probably not, because I know that some of those priests, they have it in hotels on Sunday, in hotel basements and all of that. You think about here, over there in Europe, there's Father Dutiri. He's been, I don't think he's really on Twitter much anymore, but I was just talking about driving from Boston to Maine. He flies into England, into a different country, like from France. I mean, these are unparalleled times. Yeah. And like, man, it really makes me, you know, think of the sacrifice a lot of these men make to just give sacraments and to give.
Totally.
Speaking of being, you know, thinking about being tired, like, wow.
No,
that's what's funny is you have a lot of these Novus Ordo priests, they're too tired to do Saturday and Sunday in a row. Look at what our clergy is doing.
Crazy. No,
time zones.
It's incredible. And as you said, some of them are having three or four masses a day during this time of year. So as we've said on several of the last podcasts, pray for our priests this week.
Yes, you did say that. Yes.
It is their busiest part of the year. So they're just crazy running around everywhere doing all these ceremonies. And, you know, just it's one of those things I try to think myself. It's like, you know, we go to Holy Week and it's hard, right? It's a lot of long ceremonies and a lot of prayers we're not used to. And, you know, and you kind of have to bear through it sometimes. Well, just imagine the priest, you know, they got to do all of these and then probably
have to know what they're doing
sometime, know what they're doing, know what all the servers are doing, know what the choir is doing.
Very complex. I've served it.
Yeah, it is.
It's very difficult.
No, absolutely. Especially the pre-Pius the 12th is very difficult. And they're also at the same time giving confessions and et cetera, et cetera. So it's just, we can't fathom, I think, the heroes of, you know, I've been studying World War II lately, or listening to World War II, of course they're heroes too, but it really makes me think. It's like, you know, they're putting their bodies on the line, but the things that priests do for us, especially these days, talk about heroism. It's incredible.
I heard a story in the area here where they had, it must have been midnight on one of the midnight masses. And so they had, you know, the priest said mass, and then after, so he had confessions from like 9 to 11:30, and then mass from midnight to whatever 1:30 in the morning, and then confessions again after it, and then 6 a.m. confessions for an hour and a half until 7:30, then for 8 a.m. mass, and then I guess he came out and gave the sermon for the mass, and then while the mass is still going on, went back into the confessional and stayed in the confessional throughout all of mass, and then as soon as mass ended, they switched places, so the priest who was saying mass went in the confessional, and the priest who was in the confessional prepared for the next mass. Like, you're right, talking about putting yourself on the line, talking about work.
Yeah.
Right, and very strenuous work. This is caring for souls. This is much, in a lot of ways, it's harder than manual labor, because you're caring for souls, which is very heavy. Especially these good priests. I think of Saint John Vianney, who often said that he took on the weight. He did the penances for a lot of his penitents. Like he said, he would give very simple penances, and I would do the rest. So, you know, you think of a lot of the work these men do, and like you said, and I think it was your brief Catholic Family Podcast update, one of the lives you did really quick, just said, pray for our priests by name. And I try to do that, you know, take your rosary and give each bead, say a name of a priest that you know who is working very hard, and ask Our Lady to sustain him. Absolutely. I didn't have beer today. That's the second time I'm stumbling over my words, and I do not have beer.
It's still pretty early for you, man. I hope
pretty early. Yes,
you got to have some stronger coffee next time.
Sustain.
Exactly. No, well, Matt, as always, it's been a pleasure. It's been fun. We hope everyone enjoyed it as well. It's my birthday today, as everyone's listening. So you guys better comment happy birthday to me. If not, I will ban you. I don't think I can do that.
Flood of comments.
We need a flood of comments, guys. We need to be upvoted, as we would say. But no, seriously though, like, share, subscribe, all that fun stuff. We will not be here next Monday. That's Easter Monday. It's actually a holy day in Germany, interestingly enough.
Easter Monday
is a holy day, so we got to go. It's a busy week for us over here, and so we won't be able to do that. Obviously, right. We're not going to record on Easter Sunday. So we wish all of you all, Matt, I wish you as well, a very, very blessed Holy Week and very happy and Holy Easter to all of our listeners as well. We'll be back the week after. And as always, let us know how you all are doing, what you think. Go ahead and complain to Matt. wish me happy birthday. And we will see you guys in 2 weeks. Matt, till then, God bless you.
Make the world Catholic again.